You have come and you've shone so brightly in our world. Lord, the longer I follow you, the more I appreciate all that you are and all that you have done. And I know that it's the same for many here this morning, some that have followed you far longer than I. So Lord, we trust in you this morning. We believe in you. We believe in your word. We believe in your Spirit who speaks to us and takes your word and applies it to us today. And so Lord, would you do that for us this morning as we look at these ancient words from the pen of John the Apostle? We pray in the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. This is a family up in New York State that broke their own record. I mean, which is for the Guinness Book of World Records. They broke their own record this year. I guess they really like lights. So they 700,000 lights they put in their yard, which must be pretty big because they go for 8 miles. That's a really big yard, or a lot of neighbors' yards, I don't know. It took them and their dear young children 8 weeks to put them up. They had 280 songs that were choreographed with the lights. I'm not sure if they have day jobs or not, but I think they really, really like light. And apparently the families around there really like light because they raise a little bit of money through this for their fire department. I don't know if they got a bucket or something to put it in, but you know, there's a whole community there that really, really likes light. And we do too, as we saw a few minutes ago, and as we celebrate throughout the season. We look for light. We look for light in a dark world. Sometimes, you know, we look within. And sometimes we're encouraged to look within. Sometimes we go to the experts for light. Sometimes we think if we go to work for light or to school, or we think if we just get a bit of time off, then things will be brighter for us and the cruise lines and other big airlines, and they're encouraging us with that and saying, if you just get off with us, then everything will be bright and the darkness will be gone. Well, the Bible says light began at the beginning of time when the Lord said, let there be light. And then as we move about halfway into the scriptures, the psalmist, King David, said, well, that God's word is light, that it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. But then as we come into John's gospel, John starts to say that Jesus is light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and I am the light of life. Now, a season like we're in, it just seems like it's extra dark this year, doesn't it? A couple of years of crazy darkness. If we lived in Kentucky this morning, boy, you just wonder how could it be any darker than in Kentucky and in some of those states nearby this year. It's been a dark, dark season for us. But even in this dark season, the light has come. And John says, believe others who have spoken about this light. John the Baptist, he says, is the one that came and gave the announcements. Remember the Lion King movie? And when King Simba had been born and he was held up for the jungle all the animals, they rushed all over the jungle. He's born, he's here, he's here, he's here. And the zebras and the kangaroos and the giraffes and the leopards, and they all danced and they sang because the king had been born and they were announcing his birth. And when John came, he said, here he is. Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he came and he was dressed like Elijah. He dressed like a wild man eating wild food. But there were others on either side of him that announced that this king had come. Way back in the book of Genesis, the Lord himself said that someone was coming. And then Moses spoke of who was to come and in the first five books of the Bible. And then King David himself, in all of his regal attire, announced that another one was coming. And then the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, the man who went to the lion's den and perhaps saw the Lord himself shut the lion's mouth, said, "There's another one that is to come." And then Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And then the apostle Paul himself, who was knocked off his high horse, said, "There is one who has come." And then the people throughout history, the fathers and mothers of the early church. And then Martin Luther, back during the Reformation, said, "Yes, one has come." And John Wesley and those who came after him, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, and people that you know and I know. I've told you how my great-grandmother, a Swedish immigrant in Connecticut, cleaning houses, just trying to feed her family, heard a street preacher that our family is just longing to meet someday. Salvation Army, I think he was, and proclaimed the gospel to her. And because of that, my grandfather came to Jesus, and then my dad came to Jesus, and I came to Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that. And others that you know, others in your family or in your neighborhood or your extended family or in your school or in your church or another church or maybe it was on television or maybe just the sweet voice of God's Spirit speaking to you, maybe through His Word or through some Christian literature that you ran across. John says, "Believe them. I've sent them. I've sent these messengers to you for century after century after century. And in your lifetime," he says, "I've sent them to you. Believe them." They're speaking the truth. But the announcers beg the next step, and that is to recognize the true light. Now Bradley, who was a secret man in the dark, took this lighter, the oldest of the players, and lit these candles. And you look at this lighter and you say, "Man, what are they using a lighter for? I think they should have used a candle." Or maybe you went to some schmancy dancy church when you're growing up and they were very, you know, used robes and liturgy and maybe they had like a big long brass something and they lit the candle, you know, or maybe it was a fancy something. I mean, like you do in a much larger or more liturgical setting. And you say, "Man, I wish they'd done this. I wish they'd done that." And you know, we're not real fancy schmancy around here. The point is, we lit the candles so that you and I could see the light. And that's the way that it is with the light of Jesus. The Bible says that there's enough light. John says there's enough light for everyone to see. The Apostle John, Paul. Said that at the beginning of the book of Romans, he said that anyone who doesn't believe that there's a God is really a fool because there's enough evidence around everywhere for people to see. Back in the Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Declare it. speak it, like John the Baptist spoke of Jesus who had come. They declare it. In fact, the Psalms, it says that the sun goes up every morning like a runner across the sky. So if you look at, you get up early and you see the sun come up, it runs across the sky. And then it runs out the other side and goes down with sundown, and then it comes up again, and up again, and up again, and up again. And the psalmist is saying that runner and all of the stars in the sky and the sun, that they are proclaiming the glory of God. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that the kingdom is near us. That God is at work in our world, that He, the King, is at work among us. And now, but John says that a lot of people miss what's going on. They look at, and they don't see it. And he says, in fact, that there were many, when he came to his own, that rejected him. I ran across someone again in the last week or so that said, well, I'm not believing. I don't believe in God because I don't. There's so many hypocrites in the church. And I said, well, stop looking at the people and start looking at Jesus. If you look long enough at anybody in the church, you're going to see, including this one here, you're going to see plenty of probably hypocrisy and problems. And you're going to say, I don't want to believe in them. Well, no, don't believe in us. Believe in Him. It doesn't matter how these candles get lit in the end. What matters is when we shut out the lights, if the flame is on. And so does what Jesus uses lots of hypocrites and lots of sinners and lots of very imperfect people, including John the Baptist and including all of us and each of us, to shine the light. But the point is that the light is everywhere for everybody to see. So get your eyes off of the messengers and get your eyes onto the one who's perfect, who never changes, and the one who is perfection itself, and the one who gave his life for us so that we can be forgiven. That's why we're here, like we're like a bunch of patients in a hospital. Yeah, we got problems. We're here because we need Jesus. But Jesus gave his life for us so that we could be forgiven and so that he could begin to change us and forgive us, not just when we came to Jesus, but every day and every night until we see him. And the Bible says that we will be like him then, not now, but then, when we see him as he is. So forget about whoever is lighting the light up, lighting the candles for you. Forget about the other people that may be less than perfect bearers of the light. Look at the light that you have. Maybe it's dim. Maybe it's flickering. Maybe it's reflected in somebody else, some other person in your life, or some institution that you're involved with, or something that you're hearing or seeing somewhere. Look at the light that you have. That light is enough to know him. When we shut off those lights a few minutes ago, and those LED lights reflected, there was enough to see. And you have enough light in your life, the Bible says so, for you to believe and to put your faith in Jesus. So run to him. Don't be among those who reject him. Don't have an excuse. It's probably just because you want to live life the way that you want to live. You know, I think it was Josh McDowell who said when somebody is rejecting Jesus, rejecting the gospel, the good news, ask him why. And if they say, well, it's because of this excuse, or it's because of this, or because of that, and they say, okay, if I could prove that to you, then would you believe? And he said, if they say no, then the problem is not their excuse, it's that they just don't want to. And it may well have to do with a lifestyle change that they do not want to make. Don't reject the light because of some flimsy excuse. Look at the light you have. Run to the light. It's enough to know him, but it means going beyond recognition. John says in verses 12 and 13, in some of the more well-known verses of the New Testament, especially words that we will often use to point people to Jesus and to call them to him, he says, believe the light. Believe the light. Jesus, the light. Receive him, he says. Believe in his name. Now he's talking about a person. He's not talking about an idea. We get into trouble when we think that Jesus is just an idea, something that we believe up here. The Pharisees believed up here in a lot of religious things. The scriptures say that the devils believe up here and they tremble, but they don't believe in their hearts. That's why we often say that we receive Christ into our hearts. Now what that doesn't mean is that we just kind of mumble a prayer. No, or that we think he's actually coming into our hearts like we do with children, or we use a verse from the Revelation 3:20. That's not what we're talking about. When we're talking about receiving Christ into our hearts, receiving him as our Savior and our Lord, we're talking about receiving him as a person. Okay, with all that we are and all that we have, Jesus came as a human being, as the God-man. He came as a person into our world. And so what he calls us to do is to receive him with all that we are and all that we have as our Savior. That means as the one who gave his life on our behalf. And so we say, Jesus, I deserve to die for my sin. I got a rotten heart. I naturally am among those who reject you, don't want anything to do with you, because I'm stubborn and I'd rather live my life my way than your way. But you know, Jesus came on Christmas Day and he came to give his life for us, to pay our penalty. And John writes later on in chapter 3, he said that as many as believe in him, that he would, and put their faith and trust in him, that he would give us eternal life. And so we say, Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you that you gave your life for me. You paid the penalty that I deserve to pay. But then receiving him entirely means receiving him not only as our Savior, but as our King. As our Lord is another, we speak of your Lordship. As our King, as our Lord, we believe that Jesus came as the King of the universe, as the one that created us. And so to believe in his name means to believe in him as the King, to receive him in all he is. What that means is we bow before him and we say, okay, King, whatever you want, I'm yours. And you gave your life for me, and so I'm going to love you with my life. I'm not to get what you gave to me. It's all by grace through faith alone. But I'm going to give you everything that I am and everything that I have in gratitude to say thank you to you for my life. We're receiving him as a person into our lives and saying, Jesus, I'm yours now because you gave everything for me. And it's then that he says in verses 12 and 13, it's then that he makes us his children. We are what John calls the same gospel in chapter 3. He talks about us being born again. And he begins to talk about it for the first time here. He says that this is God's decision. It's not ours. So if you go to your mama and you say, Mama, I'm so glad I decided to be born. She'd say, I don't think so. You weren't around yet, and for one thing, and no, you had nothing to do with that decision. But we're glad you're here, okay? And the Lord says to us what John is saying to hear, that when we are born again, something happens with us. What John Wesley, the founder of Methodism years ago and Wesleyanism, he said he was strangely warmed. There's something that happened inside of him that he could not resist. And what happened was the Lord spoke to him, and he speaks to us and makes us cry out to him like, Abba, Father, Daddy, Lord, I want to know you. I want to be born into your family. And so we run to Jesus and we say, yes, Jesus, I receive you. I welcome you I welcome you into my life. And I want to be part of you. And it's then that he gives us by grace, not because we deserve it, but by grace, a new identity in him. A new status in him. Our family's going next week, after a week from tomorrow. Maureen and I are flying to Seattle, where a couple of our boys live, and their families and the others. We're all going to gather there together. We're going to be in one place. And we got some T-shirts that are coming, and they're going to say, Nanfelt Christmas. They happen to be from the T-shirt company that Bailey Heffler, who was one of the girls up here, that her grandpa owns out in another city on the West Coast. But anyway, the point is, it's all going to say Nanfelt Christmas on there, because they are now Nanfelts. And there's four of them that a long time ago were born into the Nanfelt family. They didn't have a choice. There's another seven that were born after that. They're little ones, and they were born in the Nanfelt family. Now, there are four others that married into the Nanfelt family, and they are Nanfelts now. Well, I don't know if they, I mean, some of them didn't have a choice. Some of them did have a choice. They're identified with us. And that's the kind of thing that happens to us when we receive Christ as the one who died for us and the one who becomes our Lord, our King. We're now identified with him. We're the King's kids. We're the King's brothers, so to speak. The Bible says that we're his brothers, that we reign with him. We're identified with him more so than our human family even. We're identified with Jesus more than even our family of churches that we happen to be part of. We happen to be in an Alliance church. There's lots of other good churches and good families of churches around. But more than that, more than being an Alliance person or a Protestant or whatever we happen to be, we're identified with him, first of all. We're part of his family. We're the King's kids. And what he calls us to do as those whom he has bought out of our condemnation, we're now forgiven. And his Spirit comes to live within us. And then what happens is now we give a preview of the world that's to come. That world that will be all light. That where Jesus will be our light, and where all of the sin and all of the suffering, and there'll be no more tornadoes and no more pandemics and no more hospitals and no more funeral homes but lots of things that were created that were supposed to be beautiful at the beginning and have been all messed up, but will be recreated in ways that are even better than they were at the beginning of time. We're part of that. We're part of giving a preview of that. And so in our relationships, they're not perfect. But as we talked about a little in the men's community group this morning, we look at really messy situations and we say, so how can we love in this situation? How can we show the love of Christ now in a very broken world? How can we show the love of Jesus in our family situations? And your family is perfect, but mine is not. And we'll need to do some loving. And you're going to need to do some loving. But how can we show Christ in and through us? Because we're previewing that kingdom that is to come. So I want to urge you this morning, if you've never received Jesus as a person, as your Savior, as your King, your Lord, to receive Him this season, to receive Him this morning. If you're not sure to tell Him because He lives and He's speaking to you right now, if He's nudging you, that means He's speaking. He's warming your heart to say, I'm going to chase after you until you find you. I'm going to take this gospel and I'm going to read it and read it and read it until I hear what you have to say. And if you have, I urge you this day and this season to just reflect and deepen your relationship with the one who has come, to thank Him for this new family that He's birthed you into, and give Him thanks for His birth. Guess we're staying here for a minute, okay? Some of you, many of you, I know, were here for the Twin Rose Community Band Christmas concert a couple of weeks ago. I'll be playing again a couple of times this afternoon. We got a couple of them, but one of the things that I love is when the director gives backgrounds to the songs. As a professional, as a musician, you know, a professional that teaches it at a high school. And one of the songs that he gave us the background to, is an old French carol that's not as well known. I played it a few minutes ago. I'm going to play it again and then we're going to sing it again. But it's called Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella. Now that's not one name, Jeanette Isabella. They're French names. A girl named Jeanette and a girl Isabella, who apparently were milkmaids. They imagine in a little town, and there's a region of France. And what they do is all of the children, or they're milkmaids. I'm sorry, they imagine that they were at the manger, and then they grab a torch. And ran all over town to say, come, come, see the light. Come and see the Lord Jesus who was born in a manger. And they imagined that they were there in that day. And so they're in that region of France. What happens is the girls dress up as milkmaids, the boys as farmhands. They take candles and they go all over town. And I get on Christmas Eve, they bring everybody to the manger and they celebrate the light that has come. So I wonder where you are this morning. Have you found the light? Have you found the light? Then celebrate the one who has come. Do you see the light around you? Do you see it in people that you know in your heart of hearts know Jesus? Do you see it in the witness of the Gospels, in the witness of the Scriptures, from the God who at the beginning of the story said, let there be light? Do you see it in the Jesus that's proclaimed at the end of the Bible, that where Jesus will be our light? Do you see it? Do you see it throughout the world, where it went from this little manger in Bethlehem all over the planet, and his messengers continue to go and say, Jesus is born. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the answer to the darkness in this world. Do you see it? If you haven't embraced the light, then run to him and tell him that you want to know more, or grab someone that knows him and say, will you help me? We would love to talk to you, help you to know who he is, because there's nothing better than having the light of Jesus in a dark world. And if you know him, then take the light. And whether you're a farmhand or a milkmaid or someone else, whatever it is that you do in life, take the light and go throughout the town, and let's go throughout the world and shine the light and tell others that Jesus has come, that they might know him too.